Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. I know I say that every time, but it kind of flows good if you just want to be honest. You know, we all vote honesty, so we in here. We better talk some stuff tonight. Lee's not out here because, you know, he's out vacationing again. You know, the man's got to travel all around the world and do his thing, so he's out there rolling, and we got to let him enjoy himself. He'll be back out here, you know, chopping it up with us on the next one. But I got a special guest host, my boy Rodney, who, if you've listened to the show before, you've heard him on here numerous times, and that's my boy. So we're going to chop it up. I'm going to see what's on his mind tonight, and we're going to get right into it. Rodney, what's going on, bro?
What's good, man? At this point, I'm not even a special guest anymore, man. I'm just a pop-up.
Wait, what did you say?
I said, at this point, I'm not even a special guest anymore, man. I'm just a pop-up.
You're just a pop-up?
Yes, pretty much.
What do you mean by that?
No, like, I pop up here and there with, like, hey, yo, Rob, we doing a show, man. You down? Yeah, let's do it. A special guest might come like every once in a while, maybe once every 3-5 months. That's a celebrity. I ain't nobody.
Oh, all right. I see what you're saying. Well, you were a special asset to the show. Want me to say that?
That's love, man. That's love. I feel like Denzel Washington after you said that, man. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I just have to, you know, make sure everything's understandable. You know what I'm saying? You know, have you seen the trailer for this movie about the Megalodon, bro? Have you seen that thing? What the fuck?
About what?
It's about the Megalodon. You seen that huge shark? You didn't see the trailer for that movie with the huge shark? It's supposed to be the biggest shark that ever existed.
Nah, I didn't. Oh, goodness. Here goes those. Nah, I didn't see that. I didn't see that one. I probably got to check it out after the show.
What, you saying here goes those, like, me talking about sharks? Cause
No.
He's pretty fascinated with sharks, because there's a lot
of Sharknado movies already. And it's like, good love. We already got a lot of sequels and franchises and reboots. Like, goodness. Like, can we have, like, a new show, new movie?
Oh, a new concept, you're saying.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to do reboots with Martin. They're trying to do reboots with a lot of other classic shows and movies. They're trying to do a reboot to Friday. It's like, well, good Lord, dog. How many more reboots? Can we keep the classic ones classic? Like, they're trying to do they've still been trying to do a Space Jam 2 with LeBron for the past 5 years.
Space Jam, they've been talking about.
I don't think they should do a... Go ahead.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for too long. I don't believe that's actually happening at this point.
At this point I don't know, but I'm hearing that they're still trying to do it.
Yeah, you know, we could use some new topics, new movie concepts out there. I want to ask you though, what's on your mind tonight, bro?
Man, I was checking out the updates for WWE Extreme Rules because I don't have the WWE Network app.
Yeah, that's on tonight. I was
going to
bring that up.
I always keep updates. Yeah, and I was just checking the updates, and I saw in the match of Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley won. I was like, wait, he won? I looked at the comment section. Everybody, including me, was surprised. I was like, hold up. Bobby Lashley won? I was so hyped. And I don't want to make this a race thing, but I was yelling black excellence and everything, man. I was so happy because Roman Reigns is pretty much they're making the picture of the new John Cena. Don't get me wrong. I love Roman Reigns. I'm not a part of this bandwagon, the less hate Roman bandwagon. But I was so happy.
Nah.
I was like, Bobby's been gone. We need him versus Brock. We need him with a big title besides the United States title or a tag team championship. Bobby Lashley needs some more of a push. That Sami Zayn feud was horrible. This Roman feud, it looks pretty good to me. But, yeah, give him more of a push. We've been waiting for him versus Braun for years. What you about to say, Keith?
I was going to say, I know exactly what you're talking about when you said he's like the new John Cena, because if I get this right, I'm pretty sure you're saying that Roman Reigns is like the new guy that an up-and-comer has to get over on to become a star. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like his one of his slogans is literally, "I am the guy. It doesn't matter if I'm a good guy or a bad guy, I'm the guy." That's basically the slogan. And plus, we've seen so many cards that happen, and you have him as the main event, whether a title's on the line or not, over a World Heavyweight Championship match. And then plus, like, just the marketing with the Universal title, you got so many other people that deserves deserves title shots and all. I can go down the list, but no shots to Brock Lesnar, but you got Brock Lesnar holding the title, and he's not marketing it right. He's between WWE and UFC, for one, and two, he's barely showing up to Raw at least once or twice a month, and you're the champion. It's like, dog, like, what makes this title valuable to WWE if it's barely at WWE? Even the night when Brock officially passed CM Punk's biggest world title reign that lasts the longest, he didn't even show up on that Monday, and that's a big accomplishment. So it's like, well, hell, what more? It's like, what more can y'all do if it's somebody that's not even treating the title like it actually matters?
Yeah, that guy. I've never, ever since the beginning, I've never been a fan of Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, I've been watching wrestling since the DVDs. I used to go to the video store. You know, I read this thing the other day. It said there's only one Blockbuster left. There's only one Blockbuster store left in the whole United States. And that's crazy because I remember, like, way back, I was getting the DVDs back in 2005 at Blockbuster. And I was only one store left. I remember there was one everywhere. I used to go get the wrestling DVDs, and I remember Brock Lesnar back when he had the match with – he had the promo with Eddie Guerrero, the greatest of all time, Eddie Guerrero.
R.I.P.
Eddie. I remember that match. Yeah, rest in peace to the God. And he had the illest promo ever. It was hype leading up to a match ever with Eddie Guerrero. That was sick. Eddie Guerrero actually won. That was huge. It was just such a – but, yeah, I've never been a fan of Brock Lesnar ever since those days. I mean, I think part of it is because he's always played a heel in his career. Yeah, he's always played a heel in his career. And he's good at it. So, I mean, that's probably a good reason why I'd never liked him. But at the same time, is like – I don't know. I just don't like – I might just be a hater. I don't really like how – it's kind of like you said with the movies. It's like, can we get a new concept, please? Like, can we get – stop trying to rehash old things. Like, because Brock's been out there for a long time. Like, he's been out there for, like, a good 18 years in WWE, and people are still hyping him.
Not 18 years. Maybe 05, 06, he left for a while and came back in like 2013. So John Cena and Rock did their first match. So it wasn't like 18 straight.
Yeah, but he's been a name for around that time. He was out
there. That's everywhere with everybody though, bro. You could say that in anywhere. You could say that in the NBA with LeBron James. You can say that with Drake and Cardi B in hip hop and music. You can say that with Tom Brady in football.
So much more consistent than him. Yeah, but all those people you just named put in way more work than Brock Lesnar, though. When you've seen LeBron take off 5 years in the NBA and then come back and then get a title fight. Like, what?
The man just played 82 straight games plus playoff games this entire season with no rest.
And how many matches has Brock had in the past 2 years? Like, two?
And that what sucks the most about this, because I saw, Matthew, let me look it up. I remember I saw a meme of people comparing the long Universal Championship reign that Brock Lesnar had, and the long reign that CM Punk had with the WWE Championship. And even though the names were long, we're comparing the stats besides the days. CM Punk looks way more impressive. Oh, give me a sec, because I showed this to my guy brother last night, comparing Brock Lesnar to CM Punk's reign, because my guy brother was saying nobody wants to wrestle with CM Punk. Wrestle with Brock Lesnar. I said, I'm not talking about skill wise. Skill wise, Braun is scary, but we're talking about reign wise. Punk's reign was way more. Here we go. Was way more impressive. All right, you got. CM Punk, he went 334 days. He had 141 title defenses, 110 live shows, 12 pay-per-views. No, I don't know what that part means. But all right, now you go to Brock Lesnar. You compare it to Brock Lesnar's reign. He go. Wait, what are you about to say?
Did you say he had 141 title defenses?
Yes.
Bruh.
During his reign.
It's like a title defense every 3 days.
Yes.
That's almost every 3 days a title defense.
Right. And then you go to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, his reign, this is went after like the 434 day. It was 435 here. He only has 10 title defenses, 4 live shows, and 6 pay-per-views. You compare the reigns, Punk's reign was way more, no matter how he won, he was at least a lot more consistent enough to make the WWE Championship relevant, let alone his reign. Whether he was a face or a heel, CM Punk made me want to see Raw every week, just to see what the hell he was going to do next.
Well, the more times you defend the belt, the more legitimacy that you tie to it. The less times it's kind of like, you know, paper champion type stuff. Like, you're just kind of hanging around, kind of like there's some UFC champions that do that. Speaking of which, Brock Lesnar had just you know. Came back
with DC.
Not really came back.
I saw.
He just crossed over to the UFC this
promo.
Past weekend.
First,
yeah, everybody was saying that.
I'm not all in on UFC like you guys, but I'm up to date. I like John Bone Jones, but you gotta stay off the drugs, man. But besides that, I've been keeping up. Shout out to DC. He's from New Orleans. I mean, he's from Louisiana, so I got to show love to him. But nah, bro, that's the problem. Braun is just around for the money and just to hurt people whatever he feels like it. He's not trying to do consistent, and he's not trying to keep the title relevant. Even though sometimes you get tired of seeing the person, but at the same time, it's not just defending it every five days. It's also seeing you a lot and doing good promos to the point that we love watching you. This is the reason why CM Punk has been highly requested to come back for so long. Why? Because his reign was impressive as hell. People love watching CM Punk. People love going back to see. You can look up CM Punk's promos in WWE. Hundreds of views. Hundreds of thousands of views. Hundreds of thousands of views. Some a million. Some are 4 or 5 million. Some maybe 10 if you're lucky. That's how impressive his reign was, to the point that even though his last two UFC matches were horrible, they were talked about. That's how big of a deal CM Punk was back in his WWE time, because people loved him, people loved watching him, and he marketed himself beautifully. feuds he did to the point that there was like personal actual beef with guys like Triple H or Vince Young to the point that he did leave. People enjoyed it before he left and when his title expired after he won the title against John Cena at Money in the Bank, which now makes people wish that he came back, that he would still be here. I would love CM Punk to come back. Wrestling is more for CM Punk than UFC. But at the same time, bro, come on. His reign, this is why I keep saying his reign is way more impressive than Brock Lesnar. No matter the skill, because Brock Lesnar is way more skilled. He's a lot more scary. But at the same time, if we're comparing the stats and the replay value, CM Punk is way more impressive. Brock Lesnar is just remembered for beating people up and good brawls. Punk has the overall package. He has great matches, a few 5 stars, if not at least 4.5-star matches with top-tier names. He has great promos, and he has some pretty good brawls. Brock, he's just known for good brawls and a couple of title wins. The person that he depends on doing everybody else is Paul Heyman. And I love Paul Heyman. But come on.
Yo, you know why I'm not a fan of Brock Lesnar? You want to know why?
Why?
Because he's a steroid cheat. That's why.
He's a steroid cheat.
And I'm going to tell you this. Just like your boy Bones Jones, they take the same they took you know the last time they both they were taking the same estrogen blockers, him and Brock Lesnar, and the funny thing is that that's one of like the biggest talked about possible fights in the UFC, steroid versus steroid cheat, who wins? That's the funny part is like the DC thing is like, oh, you got really the bad guy versus the good guy. The guy who's never had any allegations of taking any performance enhancing drugs in his career versus the guy who's arguably been taking performance enhancing drugs his entire career. Go figure, nobody wants to wrestle with Brock Lesnar. Look at this guy. No one wants to be thrown around by steroid cheat. Look what he did last time he was in the UFC.
I really thought that was all muscle.
Yeah. Well, I know last time he fought, I don't know what he does in wrestling because they don't get tested the same way because they don't care. Plus, it's not like you're having a real fight. You're not having real contact where somebody can get seriously hurt as a result of somebody taking a substance.
But either way, as long as you act it out, it's entertaining.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
sell the fight, it's entertaining. You can sell how the punches or the kicks look, it's entertaining regardless.
I get it, but I'm saying that in the UFC, you could kill somebody as a result of using PEDs, and it's an unfair advantage. So where I'm at this point is that the last time Brock Lesnar came over here on this side, he was a steroid cheat. So I don't know what he does when he goes back over there, but that's the reason why I don't like watching this guy is because I look at him, and I just see steroid freak, and I don't care for that. That selling point is not anything crazy to me. Like when I used to see the Big Show, I don't know if the Big Show is still out there, but when I used to see him,
he was just recently retired.
The Big Show was just big. Like he was just a tall dude and just packed. He weighed a lot. He was just a heavy guy, heavy tall guy. I never thought the Big Show was taking it. I mean, I never really thought the Big Show was probably taking anything because he never had a crazy amount of muscle. I mean, his chest was huge, but I felt like he was heavy. He was just so big. I thought he was like
He was in good enough shape to at least move a little bit. Like he knew how to use the amount of weight that and he wasn't like overly fat, but he was tall with some weight for him to use it to his advantage in a wrestling ring. So I understand what you're saying. Like, if you're like 6'9", 6'10", 7'1", maybe 300 pounds, not a lot of muscle, a little bit of fat, but, like, it's in good shape to the point that you're not risking, like, something like diabetes or heart attacks or something like that. and you know how to use it to your athletic ability, you're good.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Kane was always big, too. I mean, at one point, The Undertaker looked really big, you know, before his career was on the decline. He used to be a pretty big, scary-looking dude, too. And there's a lot of guys in the history that was really big in wrestling. And like I said, don't get me wrong, a lot of the guys that I might have been fans of, which happens to be a lot of the guys, like John Cena was one of my favorite guys, but, like, you know, he probably was taking something at one point or another in his career. I mean, The Rock, I always liked The Rock. The Rock was probably taking something out, you know, a substance that was
I'll be so mad if I found out Rock was taking something, because that man works out every 5 minutes. Not every day.
I mean,
even before he wasn't like, go ahead.
Well, John Cena started out a bodybuilder, same as Dave Bautista started out a bodybuilder, and Bautista was huge too. John Cena was huge too. I feel like he put on a little bit of weight, and his muscle, it started to look more fitting with his body. When he was younger, I feel like he had so much muscle, but he was actually a smaller guy. Like, I feel like he jumped, he grew so much in size so quick. And then as his career went on, he put a little bit of weight on top of it. He probably gained more fat as he started settling in at that size, and that's when he looked a bit more evened out. But at the same time, it could have just been that maybe he stopped taking, you know, whatever substance that he was taking. And I don't like to think of it that way. But like I said, none of these guys went over to the UFC and was a steroid cheat in the UFC. It's different. Like, when you're in the WWE, it's different. When I see you go over, you got to be a steroid cheat. That's why I don't like John Jones, because he's a steroid cheat. If Lee was here, he'd be crying right now, because that's his favorite guy. And he don't like when I say
I love John Jones.
It's the truth. John Jones, steroid cheat, bro. And I can't stand it, because you're so great. You don't need to do this. You don't need to cheat. You already got this. And if that's offense to me saying that, then that makes me question all the rest of your career. Because if you think that you needed it now, then what were you? Then you didn't need it all the rest of your career. Then how were you getting through? All of a sudden, you needed to beat this one guy, but you didn't need it to beat 20 other guys. Or did you need it, and you've been using it against all 20 guys? So that puts your whole career in question to me. And that's what I always say about John Jones, is that that's what bothers me, is that if you get popped for steroids later in your career, like Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock Lesnar didn't have nearly as many fights. He only had like 5 or 6 fights in the UFC. So it's not even like, you know, half the career John Jones had. But I'm just saying that, like, if you get popped later in your career, and, you know, and you were in the MLB for, you know, a 10-year career, and then in your 9th, 10th year you get popped for steroids, then that puts the whole other, you know, first 8 or 9 years into question too. If you were able to perform at such a high level, but then you get popped later in your career, you were just good at hiding it, or you just didn't need it until now.
Right.
It leaves too many questions for me to...
And that kind of makes some of these guys, because not everybody's like hugely muscular, but that kind of what makes some of these other guys even more impressive. Like, for example, do you know who AJ Styles is?
I knew AJ Styles since he was in TNA.
There you go. Man, there we go, Keys. Now we talking for real. I've been a fan of AJ Styles for so long. I've been watching AJ Styles since 2010, but it started with some old matches at first. My favorite match will forever be the triple threat match between him, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe for the X Division Championship in 2005 at Unforgiven. At Unbreakable. I will forever love that match. And I've been watching AJ for so long. AJ, he's in really good shape. He's been in good shape for all these years. I've been watching AJ before the beard and the long hair that he's been rocking.
Yeah,
AJ.
He used to rock the short hair with the thin hood. He used to wear, like, I think it was like the blue light coat. He used to wear it over his head. I think he would call it. Well, there's the phenomenal one, right?
The phenomenal AJ Styles. He still rocks that. He still rocks that. And guess what? AJ Styles entered the Royal Rumble in 2016 And then 6 to 8 months later, became WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And now he is a two-time and currently defending WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Still, in short notice, that's how big of an impact and how impressive he is. He didn't have to change his name. He didn't have to change his trademark. He didn't have to change his gear. The only thing that he changed was his theme song from Get Ready to Fight to They Don't Want None. And I like that theme song. And I'm so happy that AJ Styles is being so successful. And the best part about AJ, he has the overall package. He has the skills. He has the style. He has the trademark. He has the nice mic skills. He has the great attributes. He has the great marketing skills. And he shows you what a great champion is. And it's not like, oh, now he's wrestling with the big boys. He's been fighting with Samoa Joe. He's been having great matches and great rivalries with guys like Kurt Angle. And comes in 2016, and in a few months span of having feuds with Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho, having matches of the year with John Cena, let alone beating them, defending against great guys and conversations with The Rock, Triple H, like CM Punk. Like, that's how impressive, like, that someone that has the skill of AJ Styles is, and is a blessing that he is representing a show as one of the biggest champions. And that's dope, because and it makes it even doper for me as a huge fan, because I've been watching AJ for so long. You know how happy I was? Because every time I used to get every single WWE game all the time, I used to always create AJ Styles. When AJ showed up at Royal Rumble, I said, now I don't have to create AJ anymore. He's going to already be there. I was so happy. And to see that not only that he hasn't missed a step, but he's wrestling with the John Cena, with the Chris Jericho, with the Roman Reigns, and is winning. And is winning WWE Championship. And is having matches of the year. Is headlining WrestleManias. Having great matches with freaking Shane McMahon. Has Shane McMahon doing freaking Shooting Star Press at the age of 50 with gray hair. It's beautiful. And guys like those with the freaking ambition, not only ambition, but the skills and the whole overall package that they have, and let alone the consistency, makes their reign way more impressive than what Brock Lesnar's doing right now with the Universal Championship. And I don't care how long AJ's holding the title. As long as he's making the title relevant, that's all that matters. That's what I'm saying.
I guess
I had to get that off.
Yeah, nah, talk your stuff, bro. I had to let you rock out right there. I just read this thing. It says there's only 7 people in history. Well, now Brock Lesnar, if he passes 365 days, to have a WWE championship for a year or more. And John,
he did.
And
Brock
Punk,
already did.
Yeah, he passed it. So them three be the only three guys from this era that have done that. The rest being from Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage. These are all guys from a past era. So that's dope. But yeah, you know, AJ Styles, he gets out there and keeps on proving himself. And he's been very athletic ever since the first match that I watched him. The first time I watched him, my brother showed it to me. I think it was like 2006 or 2007. He was watching this thing on TV, and I was like, because I'm always watching, you know, SmackDown and Raw. And my brother was watching like these other guys on the TV. I'm like, yo, what is this? He's like, oh, it's called Impact Wrestling. I just found it on demand. I was like, all right. He was like, yeah, it's TNA. It's total nonstop action or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's it for?
Total nonstop.
But he was
action.
Like, yeah. He's like, the show's called Impact. Like, it's pretty good. You should watch it. And then, like, he, like, left the room, and he's like, yeah, like, watch this match. And it was, like, a replay of they had Samoa Joe, I think, was the champion. I think he was the champion. And then they had AJ Styles came out. So Samoa Joe, AJ Styles had a match. And that match was crazy. That was the first time that I ever saw either of those two guys, and that was the first TNA match I ever watched, and it was dope. And then, but when I seen AJ Styles promo, and when he the music he came out to and his whole look, I was like, man, this guy's a savage. This guy's a straight beast.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like Samoa Joe heel versus AJ's, like, he was mysterious, but he was like low key as a hero too, and he's very athletic. You know, he puts it all out there. He's a beast. And then when he went to the WWE, he still does that. You know, flying off the ropes and everything. So he puts it all out there. That's what I like about a superstar like that. See, he's not a circus act kind of guy. Brock Lesnar is a circus act. He just gets out there and flexes his muscles, man. He don't even really do nothing. And that's why I don't
he
like
havoc. No, he still wreaks havoc. We're not gonna do that. Brock Lesnar still wreaks havoc. I know I'm critiquing Brock over here about his reign, but I'm not gonna still deny his skill and the level of destruction that he provides to a WWE ring. He still wreaks havoc.
Yeah, but he ain't out here having fights though.
Hmm.
Brock Lesnar is like the Murder Mook of the WWE.
Oh,
he ain't even fought.
This what we doing?
Yeah.
This will be done.
Like
Aver right,
would
ahead,
say. Aver would say, but he ain't out here fighting, though.
Right.
When the last time he fought? He ain't going, he ain't traveling around, going to other guys, going to other guys' territory, having fights, putting on classic wars.
Right.
When has Brock done that?
And plus, in the words of Lord Lush, not about how many fights you had, who you fought too. Like he's not doing against big names like Verve and Surf is doing. Like Surf is battling a Rum Nidia at Gnome, a great Iron Solomon at Summer Madness. Verve, he's battling a Patch Day. Weeks before that, a New Jersey twerk that's high on fire. Before that, a B-Dot at in L.A. He's going to guys' hometowns too while doing it. Mook, we haven't seen him outside of New York, maybe no, mostly New York. Outside New York, putting in work, even though he's saying that he's comfortable everywhere. Well, we have yet to see it, whether it's about the bread or not. You're not doing things consistently like we are. Whether I lost some fights because I didn't care or not, I'm still going there fighting. And you never know when I pull out a nice uppercut on you and get the W. You're not doing that consistently like we are, Mook. Whether it's with no names or with top tier names like Rock when he was consistently fighting Billy Guns and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Rock having rivalries with Triple H. Like, you're not doing that consistently, Mook. You're not doing that consistently, bro. You're just doing it whenever you feel like it, whenever you feel it's the need to do it. Like, just come on. Plus, as much as these other guys are doing it consistently, you got the Seth Rollins. He's even though he just lost it recently in a great match, he's defending his Intercontinental Championship almost back-to-back weeks, and all of them are pretty much great matches no matter who it's with. And what else am I about to say? Whether he wins or loses is great matches, and he's making the title relevant. Brock, you're not doing that. The Intercontinental Championship is being more talked about than the Universal Championship, and the Universal Championship is supposed to hold more weight.
Wait, who's the – what did you say, Braun Strowman?
No, I meant to say Brock Lesnar, Universal Champion. I'm talking about Seth Rollins being the Universal Champion.
Oh, because Seth Rollins is a competitor. He likes to put on
a
show
very,
and prove
and
himself.
And he's very skilled.
I'm surprised they didn't have a match.
That's my point.
Did they never had a match, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles? They never had a match?
No. To my knowledge, they never had a match.
That's a super fight. One would call that a super fight in the UFC.
I think everybody would love to see that.
That's champion versus champion, super fight. And plus, they're very athletic. They could be flipping off the ropes. And they're both fierce competitors.
Oh,
Brock Lesnar is a competitor when he wants to compete, though.
Nah,
you don't
wait
step
on,
up,
Key.
You know,
I almost forgot. I almost forgot, Key. This is the best part about AJ. Because last year, it's funny you mentioned champion versus champion. Last year in Survivor Series, they had the Raw versus SmackDown competition. You know how that goes. So
yeah.
So they did a champion versus champion match. So for SmackDown, AJ Styles was the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And for Raw, Brock was representing them as the WWE Universal Champion. So they went at it. Brock was starting off dominating. Then AJ came out of nowhere swinging, coming back. And it started to become a really entertaining match. It was really great. Now Brock Lesnar won, but at the same time, Brock Lesnar is limping off. He's limping off, barely able to walk, to the point that he's almost having Paul Heyman put Brock's arm over his shoulder so he can keep walking. AJ might have lost, but that's technically a victory for him. I just brought war to freaking Braun Strowman. AJ Styles is like 5'11", maybe 215 pounds. Brock Lesnar is like 6'6", 6'7", like 385 pounds, 400 pounds, all muscle, a little steroids if you want to add. And it's a beast full of destruction. Even though I lost, I gave this guy a fight of his life to the point that he's walking off limping. Oh, I won. I still won. Even with a loss, I won. That's a big accomplishment to me. To the point that not only am I representing a show as the biggest champion on the show, but I'm bringing war to the biggest superstars in the world, in the UFC world and WWE world, that's a champion right now. Even though I lost, he's limping. Even though I lost at 5'9", 5'10", 5'11", to a guy that's 6'6", 495 pounds of muscle, he's limping. Oh, I won.
You made him bleed.
Even if I lost, I won. That's a big deal to me. I feel great about that. That lets me know next time we meet, if there's a chance that we meet again, I have a chance of winning. And it was a great match.
Yeah, you know. you be spitting, bro. You know they like to do that 50-50. Well, they like to do that 50-50 booking in the WWE anyway, so if they were to do
what
a second match, they'd probably have, they like to have a feud and then have first guy.
One person win the first time, then they do a rematch.
Yeah, have them fight twice.
Or back-to-back, one more match to see who's better than who. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the second one, they probably have AJ win the rematch.
We'll see. It's not like it's a back-to-back because I'm not hearing talks about AJ versus Brock anytime soon. AJ still representing SmackDown. Brock is still representing Raw. Unless they do Survivor Series again like they just did last year, which was a dope Survivor Series, I don't really see an AJ versus Brock rematch. And I'm not sure if AJ is going to hold the title for that long yet. We got to see first. But eventually, he's going to lose sooner or later. I'm shocked he didn't lose the title tonight. Shout out to Russo, though. I heard that was a pretty good match. But besides that, sooner or later, I don't know if AJ is going to keep the title for long because now Samoa Joe is on SmackDown, Miz is on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan is back, Kane is back, a few other competitors I can't think of at the moment. Jeff Hardy, he's on SmackDown. He just lost the U.S. title, but he might go after the WWE World Heavyweight title sometime soon. A couple other competitors, Randy Orton's on SmackDown. You got competition still. AJ's not the only good wrestler on SmackDown. So I'm not sure how long AJ's going to hold the title. But we're going to see. We'll see what happens. That's all I can say.
Yo, so speaking of Brock being the murder mook of the WWE, you know, I was looking at the dates, and they have the Summer Madness is...
Oh, boy.
I think they were supposed to be the same day. I read a report saying that they were the same day, but then they changed it.
Everybody was going crazy. Now, let me tell you something, though. URL Ben got that venue booked. That most likely, whatever venue they got, the venue already had other things booked ahead of time. People were just saying stuff because it was August, the same month, around the same weekend. It's on some matches the weekend before. Some people already knew that. They were just making rumors up. Smack then announced it, saying August 11th. They just found, but once they found out it was a double digit with the 10th digit number involved, they're like, oh, wait, isn't that the same day as RB? No, it's not. Y'all just trying to start something. Y'all could like both RBE. I know that, right? Like, I hate when fans do that, man. I got to choose between Clips or Surf or Lux. You know you could like both, right? You don't have to be biased. Kendrick's the best. Nah, Drake's the best. Nah, Pusha. Nah, Cole. Y'all could like all of these guys, man. Y'all have to be stands for everybody. I hate these stands type fans where somebody's the greatest no matter who, no matter what they do wrong. Surf choked in the third. Oh, Surf 3-0 that dude wrong. No, he didn't. Stop it. No, he didn't. When Surf clearly 2-1 wrong. No, he didn't. That second is very close. Some people can make a debate for rum. I'm honestly starting to lean towards rum there. Not everything died down.
That sounds like me,
be
bro.
Good, clearly, no debating. No, he didn't. Like, I can go all day with this stuff. People talking about Calico beat Lux 2-1. Freaking T-Rex beat Clips. Another thing that I forgot that I saw recently saying that this such and such person beat such and such. Oh, Big T beat Hollow. No, he didn't. Like, this. Like, something's up with this new era battle rap, man. Something's up with this new era, period. I hate these fans. I hate these fanatics. You got freaking Kobe fans disrespecting the LeBron painting to the point that the person that painted the picture had to cover in all white to avoid the disrespect now. Like, it's like, come on. Like, you got some of these fans disrespecting LeBron, saying we don't want LeBron here. Oh, weren't y'all just trash and they wasn't even in the playoff conversation like 2-3 months ago?
Weren't y'all just trash?
Like, these stands, and I like the Lakers. I'm not saying every single player on the team is trash. I like Kyle Kuzma. Besides scoring, Lonzo is actually not bad. Brandon Ingram is clutch. Josh Hart, he's nice. A couple of these new rookies, Mo Wagner, Sivy, they're nice. I've been watching the Lakers. Julius Randle, before he went to the Pelicans, he's nice. Like, I've been watching the Lakers for a long time. Trust me. I've been wanting to see the Lakers get back to their old form now. I've been wanting to see that. Now with LeBron over there, there's a chance. But no, y'all want them to still be stuck to them barely getting in the 8th seed or the 10th seed, let alone that, to try to fight for the 8th seed in March. Y'all just want them to suck and fight for the next draft pick every year, huh? Y'all just want them to fight for the number one draft pick every year, don't y'all? Really? That's what y'all want to do? Every year? Y'all still want to be stuck in an era of watching Jordan Hill and Nick Young play against the New York Knicks with Jeremy Lin and Michael Beasley? Y'all want to be stuck with that era for like the next 10 years? Like, I'm sick of these stands, dog. I hate these stands. I hate these fanatics. Y'all stuff, man. Go ahead.
I got a question for you, though. So, for the listeners, me and Rodney had talked the other day, and we were just saying that. Well, I was just saying that I didn't want to do a prediction for the whole card. Usually I'll do predictions for the card, but I don't want to do it because I'm so damn excited for the Summer Madness 7 card that I don't even want to, like, overthink it in my head too much. It's almost like when there's, like, a party going down or, like, something's happening this weekend and, like, you're mad excited about it. But then, like, you think about it and you anticipate it. You talk about it with your friends too much until it happens. And then once it happens, like, the event isn't as good. And you feel like it's because you, like, hyped it too much leading up to it, and it was in your mind too much. So, like, once it came, it didn't hit you, like, nearly as hard. as it would have. So that's kind of why I don't want to do a whole predictions. But what I just wanted to do was ask you about certain matches. Not like I'm not asking you about every one, just like certain ones I wanted to pick out. We saw Reed and T-Rex, Reed Dolls and T-Rex had a face-off, and that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That one,
mm-hmm.
that one's very exciting. That's one of the most ones I'm excited for. And I'm kind of excited,
but not too much.
Like unless Rex comes full form, he's going to lose. I don't know if he
it's
understands
not even,
that.
It's not even
he's
about
gonna
whether
lose.
Or not they come full form in this case is why I'm a little hesitant about being excited about this. It's more of the setting, personally.
Oh, yeah, they're in Vegas, too. I forgot about that.
No, not even that. Like, if it's a big stage, I don't think this battle is for the big stage crowds.
Yeah, I was
this
saying
is for, like,
I should have
this
one on Smack Volume 3.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping or predicting. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad it's finally booked. I don't mind seeing how it will turn out Summer Madness, but I think it'll be way more appreciated in a small room.
Yeah, I think Reed was born in the small room, so
yeah.
That's where he thrives.
And
even though
right. And even though I don't want to bring up the John battle, because even though that probably was a good battle to help Reed get the rust off since he hasn't battled before that in over like 10 years. Reed, that was his first time and his last time since that he was on a big stage battle, and that looked bad. That looked bad. He had maybe one, two, or maybe three memorable moments. The John Cena, John Wesson. You traded Jadakiss for Little John. I think one more line, I can't remember at the moment. And especially it's in the car. But besides that, everything else was trash. Was waiting for something crazy. Like that. But you stepped up a lot more in the chess battle, but that's a small room. The Rosenberg battle I enjoyed, but that was a small room. I can't be too trustworthy with Reed on a big stage. Rex, I could be a little bit more trustworthy with him because last time he was on a big stage, he had one of the best, most heartfelt first rounds of the night. I love Rex's first round against Sean. Before that,
he had the T-top battle.
And before that, he had the T-top battle, and that was a good battle. Even though I had T-top winning, I enjoyed Rex's round. Like the talk that he was giving T-top, I enjoyed it. Like you a buttercup, dude. Fight with. Last thing he jumped in was double dutch. One of my favorite battles to watch from Rex was when he battled Cautious in a small room. When he told them, you're going to get found under some. I like that. Like that is more appreciated in the small room for me. But I don't know how the crowd is going to handle that. But I like watching those guys rapping and flowing a little bit more against each other with, like, the old school feel than, like, the crowd stopping them every 3-4 bars, sometimes every 2 bars. Like, just that. Like, the bell is more appreciated in a small room than it is on a big stage. Personally, in my opinion. From the cloth that they're cut with.
Alright, so
like B-Magic and E-Ness. Remember B-Magic and E-Ness?
That gave me that
old school feel. There was a little bit more of a crowd reaction, but at the same time, it gave me that old school feel because both of those guys are flow rappers. Even though E-Ness is more of the entertaining rapper and Magic is the intricate punching rapper, flow-wise, those merge perfectly for a really good entertaining battle. And plus, it's not a 30 or 40-minute battle like every other battle is. It was maybe like 19 minutes, maybe 2 to 2 33-minute rounds. Maybe one little stumble that B-Magic had, but he snapped back in quickly. when a fire to eight, he gets shot. Mick, he got shot while talking. There was something he was dying to say. Boys like dishonest niggas, they're lying in your face. Like I enjoy that. Like this, like you can get the cabbage peel, then I do the cabbage patch. Like that type of stuff you enjoy more in the small room. The big stage, it's a little different. It's a little different. But at the same time, they in Vegas. So I don't know how in the hell the Vegas crowd is going to take it. I think the Houston crowd would have been better if we doing big stage, because the Houston crowd likes that slick talk. Like, if you watch the Goods K-Rod battle, Goods first round, when he did the you could do nothing wrong angle, NY crowd would have been way more quiet. Houston crowd, they were saying, talk to him, Goods. Every time you say you could do nothing wrong after a four bar, because usually when you hear when they wait for a four bar, they're waiting for like after a four bar sequence, they're waiting for like a crazy haymaker. But you added you could do nothing wrong at the end. The NY crowd, either they quiet or they booing. They was loving Good when he was talking like that. I think Houston would have been more of a better area to do the match in than Vegas. By the same time, we haven't seen a battle in Vegas yet. Well, at least I haven't. So I don't know how the Vegas crowd is going to react, but we're going to have to see. But besides that, I'm glad that this match did happen, because either way, this match is definitely what the culture needed. But I'm a little apprehensive about how this match is going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you about what you think about Surf and Iron.
Dope.
It's funny because we were just talking
to be crippled by little C's.
Yeah, because we were just talking about this on the last show. I think me and you were talking about or the one before, and I definitely remember saying that. Not like this was a crazy prediction, but I just remember we both said that we were like, Surf will either take JC or Iron Solomon next.
Or Good.
You remember we said that?
Yeah. I was saying JC, Iron Solomon, and maybe Good. But I remember the hint that Jay Black said after the his recap to his recap to Gnome 8, and he was saying like it was someone that likes to break somebody down. You don't want to just come with two rounds for this person. So I'm like, okay. There's three chances. One, maybe, what am I about to say? One, JC, because JC likes to be little guys. Two, Iron Solomon, because we know how Iron Solomon writes. Three, Good, because the way Good likes to talk to guys and belittle them is damn near impeccable, no matter what they do. And the number one reason why Iron came to mind, because I kept seeing Iron and Surf go back and forth. When usually half the time it's somebody that's not in Surf's radar throwing shots at him, he might respond to them maybe once, but after that he's not talking to them at all. He's constantly going back and forth with Iron. So I'm like, oh yeah, him and Iron gonna go at it sooner or later. So once Jay Black said the breakdown thing, I was like, oh, he's definitely in 1-2. One to three.
That's a big match. That's a big match. Iron Solomon, he haven't been on. I mean, he did the small room URL, but he's going to have the big stage.
He hasn't been on the big stage since Murder Mook in SM2.
So
and that battle was horrible. At the same time, this is a way different Iron.
That was a garbage battle, bro. That was straight trash. Iron Solomon,
bro,
I don't even know what neither of them guys was talking about in that battle. It was just so terrible.
Well, all I remember from Iron is the Pulitzer surprise and I died in your eyes. Something like that.
Yeah,
that
was the line, too. That line,
that
too, was the one that I was thinking of just now. He was definitely, you know, it was just, I just, and the one line I remember from Mook is when Mook said that
the Bigfoot team or the crown.
Nah, it was the line when he said.
Oh,
when he said Damn, bro, you ain't even gonna let me get to the damn punch, bro. Jesus. You said you look familiar, and then
I'm sorry,
yeah, the George Zimmerman thing. That was the only line that I remember from both that battle. After that, I think he was like reading the scriptures or something, because I fell asleep. It was just so long and drawn out. The fact that it was a 5-round battle, I feel like
it was
really ruined
yeah,
it. Was it 5 rounds, 5 minutes? That's what it felt like.
Damn, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, but that one serving in iron, that would, we'll see what happens. That should be cool. And then the other one I wanted to ask you about was on the Rare Breeze card. I mean, I think we both know that we want to see Daylight Come and Rap. It's kind of easy to even talk about that one. We hope Daylight Come and Rap, and then I'm excited to see what King Los does. I'm not going to get
rap.
Too excited about it.
Daylight got a rap. Here's one reason why I know for a fact Daylight is rapping. Against King Los. Because, one, King Los is a very respectable opponent that he has to rap against. That's the industry guy. Two, I've never seen one time that Daylight has either slacked or pulled a weird antic on an RBE stage, whether a big stage or a small stage.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah, and even one of his last battles against Ill Will, you could tell maybe after the first round he wasn't going too hard, but he was doing good enough to make you enjoy the battle regardless of watching it, and he wasn't doing no crazy antics. You was enjoying when he brought the ski mask out. You love listening to his great pen in the first round with the Wildebeest game. I don't remember a lacking Daylight on an RBE stage. So I feel that most likely he's going to be 100% against Loso, if not at least 95. I hope 100. The last time he rapped against an industry guy was against Ab Soul on the radio, and that was a dope battle, which I have him winning.
Yeah, I never got to see it. I wanted to watch like a good quality version of that one. I never got to. Somebody should have recorded that and with a nice angle. I don't know how that didn't get like good footage recording in the studio or whatever.
Yeah, I couldn't see
the
face. It was dope though.
And off the top, I know it's funny because Pat Say is battling Danny Myers, and I remember probably about a year ago, Pat Say was just talking about Danny Myers, saying how he wanted to give him a shot, and he felt like he was so dope, and he wanted to give Danny Myers a shot. And then me and my brother were like hype, like just talking about that, and then now that there's a match, so I'm excited about that one. And then I know there's a couple other ones I can't remember off the top, but what about the Murder Mook and Averb? Did we talk about that with you? Did I talk about that
with
you?
I don't think we ever talked about that. Like seriously talked about it.
It's surprising.
Do you
want to
do a prediction and break it down, or do you want to do a prediction and break it down, or you just want to talk about the excitement or whether or not it's going to be good?
We don't got to do a prediction. I say let's just. Because I said I don't want to do predictions. Let's just talk about the different. We could just talk about the angles of the possibilities. Because you know, Mook. I mean, I like Verb. I like Verb. I do want to see Verb win. Really, I really do. I know Mook is. He's untouchable to a lot of people, but I think Verb Def has a chance to make him bleed in this match. So it's kind of like the AJ Styles thing when Mook walks off limping from the ring. That's what Verb could do in this battle.
Yeah, I remember when Surf on the World Report. It was a World Report interview with Surf, Averb, and Mickey Fax talking about Murder Mook's resume. I think maybe 2014, 2015. And Verb was telling him about, yo, Mook is dope, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't been, like, fighting against any other guys consistently. Like, and because they question his resume, which is an incredible point, because the last three to four battles that we could think of for Murder Mook, the Deluxe rematch, where nobody really cared much about, the Iron Solomon battle, where people barely even watch again, despite how many views it got, the Young Hot, and long story short, it's Young Hot, and Sirius Jones, even though it's a classic, that was like years ago in the Snake DVD era. What have you been doing since your return? That's the thing. Even though Lux is in the same conversation with you in the GOAT conversation, he's doing more GOAT status things than you are, Mook. The problem is why people question you so much and question your resume. Even though you have legendary moments, then you're back now. What are you doing now? Lux, even though he's in the same conversation, not only has he battled guys that are in this era, unlike you, the four guys that were in the GOAT conversation, he's battled all three of those guys. He battled you in the rematch, Mook. He battled Hollow before that in the classic. And after that, he battled Clips. And he debatably won two out of three. The Hollow battle was a classic. A lot of people got Lux winning 2-1 against Clips. And Mook, even though he lost to Mook, a lot of people didn't like that battle. And personally, the only reason why I really go back to watching that battle is because of Lux first. I love Lux first. The coat paint thinner, the slipping you day quill. Daylight was one of the 20 niggas in the shower waiting to Jay Mills. The lost boys, you boys lost me. You missed the cheek. Like a couple others I can't think of at the moment. Like Lux, I love this first round. But and plus Lux. Arsenal, he's started to be one to go the Mount Rushmore conversation. Lux recently battled Arch. And either way, Lux is doing memorable content. Mook, we can't think of anything much memorable of Mook. Give me one quotable line that you can think of from Mook that he's done since the Iron Solomon battle. Give me five. Give me at least five. I'll give you five from Lux.
Yeah, bro, I don't know the damn thing Mook said. Everybody says that, but they can't quote none of his stuff, though. Yeah, that's a good point.
Give me five from Lux.
Man, I got mad lines from Lux. Get me started.
There you go. Give me five. Give me five. Prove it to me.
Oh, man, so his first – just the first line he had Charlie Clips when he had the – We had the Charlie, are you? That wasn't even a line, but
okay.
Just starting off,
that,
it was hot.
That's one.
Then he had the. All
right,
then,
that's
then
one.
He, then he had the when he switched the flow to the, he had the gray hoodie Lux flow when he's saying the. What are you talking about? Off in the high noon.
Oh, the gray hoodie Lux who rock. I come in the wind like a time fool. Every ball with the gun high noon in the field, raised on the nigga like dry prunes. Cool,
dry
that's
prunes.
Cool. I love the intro.
That's
cool.
And then And then he had the thing versus Arsenal when he said he had that whole setup and then about look how they feed grapes, look how they feeding grapes
to
the king.
The king. Y'all treat me like royalty. That's three.
All right, and then who loves that? Okay, yeah. So then in the Lux Hollow battle, yeah, he had the whole be somebody. I can't say that word. Be somebody from Queens, not a queen, because. Stand up,
oh,
I can't say that
up,
word. Don't
stand
lean.
Up, niggas don't lean. That's four.
That was fire. That was fire.
That's
and
four.
And he had a lot more things in the Clips battle too. If I really went back and watched it, I'd know. Who else did he battle? Arsenal.
Keys, you missing one. You missing one. Keys, come on. Landslide.
Mm. Oh yeah. In the Calico battle. Yeah. He had a couple two tree things in there.
Mhm. And what's the biggest one?
Man, you name it. Why I got to name them all?
Is your money being long? Worth your lifespan being shorter?
Oh, yeah. No, that was fire.
But look, even if you don't remember that, there's a whole lot of us you can think of. My favorite from one of my favorites from Lux is the why do we expect a nigga named Hollow to give us anything solid? That's one of my favorites ever from Lux. And a few more I can think of at the moment. But besides that, we can think of not only more quotable moments, but quotable rounds. Queen's Flip is always quoting Lux's second round and on his podcast. And you love it. I heard. You love hearing that. What, we can't think of one thing Mook has done since his return. Even when he bought the do-rag out, it's not that big, like, that much rememberable. Don't get me wrong, I could quote a few from Mook and his Lux battle, but it's not a lot. The biggest talks about which is the most biggest disappointment is you are more hypocritical than a dying hippopotamus. If you come with that against Verb, you crazy. Now, don't get me wrong. Angle-wise, Mook is dope. And Mook could break down Verb's new style perfectly about how Verb is being more lyrical. Your consequences, and the modest sin, you can't compare a sin and damages of the wreck. Like he could break that down easily. But what else can you do it for all three rounds? You can't do that for three rounds. So after a while, gets boring. What more can you do?
And Lux also, I just remember he also had the line versus Charlie when he said, "Look how I wrap circles around a body. You lucky it could be bandages.
Oh, that's crazy.
That was hot.
That's crazy.
I see that. And more and more I think of that battle, I just remember more lines keep hitting me now. So I can make up for not remembering the line that fire angle versus Calico.
You probably read that last time over the back shot.
Yeah.
you see my point, Keith? Now once I brought it up, the more you think about it, even if you're not thinking about it anymore, the more it comes to your head, like, yo, I forgot about this round too. Not one time you saying that for Mook.
Yeah, because I mean, that could be a preference thing too, just for me. But I know what you're saying though. You just don't have those moments.
And we need
There's
that
so many
now.
More lines
since your return.
So many more.
And now we finally get to see what you can do now. What you can do in this battle rap world now. Because for years, even though, like, yeah, you're a legend, you're back now. What can you do now while you're back? And you're still constantly saying, yo, I can't wait to return. I just need that bread. And you're constantly waving it on. It's just like, bro, come on, after a while, what you going to do? And you guys constantly critiquing you on what you've done previously. And your resume is not that impressive, especially with other people that you've been in conversation about battling. You've been in conversation about battling Hollow, battling Surf. These guys have way better resumes than you. Clips told Lux, oh, Red got a better resume than Lux. Honestly, he got a better resume than Mook right now. And we want to critique that. And he's been more and more impressive. A lot of
you
things
like
that everybody else should think.
Because you should be where Owen.
You should be where Owen. That's what I'm saying. You got
ours
being
more.
You got
like
ours
hours over whether that line made sense. I think it made perfect sense, but people were saying it didn't make sense. It made perfect sense.
It did.
Because if you look at the way Fabulous is spelled versus the way Fabulous, the artist, spells his name, perfect sense.
Yeah.
You just need to know the difference in the spelling. It makes perfect sense.
It makes absolute perfect sense. People just want to nitpick with everything.
Exactly. Well, don't forget, they want to take away from Charlie, too. And don't forget the third, when Lux also just said this, it's coming to me more, is when he said, Lux closed the third. He said, to my storyline, I don't glorify. I report it wise. Control the ending.
Told
Yo,
the
that
ending.
Fire.
Yo,
people need to chill, man. They should have let him get the off.
Conscious brother, street nigga. I've been in both positions and know the difference. I love, like this. I wish you would have finished. I wanted to hit a rest.
Yeah,
I wanted
me
to hit
too.
A rest.
My reporter was.
Yeah, I love Cliff. You know what I'm saying, man?
Dude,
like it's, and the more you think, I moved on from Lux now. You thinking about it harder and harder. Like, yo, I forgot about this line too. You're proving more and more of my point, dog. We need that for Mook, like on the 18th. We need that on the 18th. We know for a fact we're going to get that from Verb. We're going to get that from Daylight. We're going to get that from King Lowe's. We're going to get that from Big T, from Ill Will, from Pat Say, from Daniel Myers for sure, and anybody else that's on the card that has a name. Are we going to get that from Murder Mook? You're going to be the most talked about, but it's up to you on what they're going to talk about. Are you going to be dope? Are you going to be good? Are you going to be decent? Are you going to be subpar? Are you going to be like, so we've been waiting for you for this long, and you've been dragging all of us out to get more money for this performance? Really? Go sit on the porch.
Half a gallon goods and got half a gallon in the tank.
You see what I'm saying, Keys? You see what I'm saying? You're proving my point more and more. I'm over here talking about Mook right now. And you over here constantly bringing up Lux bars. This is my point. We need quotables. We need memorable moments for Mook. We don't have too much for Mook compared to Lux. We don't have much for Mook compared to a lot of people. I can quote more stuff from Jack Boardman, Damn Sure from Torque, from Rada, from Chef Trez, from Cortez, like from Math, guys that are not even close to your type of tier. And that's bad. And I'm rooting for you, Mook.
I can't tell if it's going to be.
I
want to
see you win.
I can't tell if people are going to be like gassing his stuff because he's back. Like the first round is, this is a return. So he's going to like win the first round, kind of like Surf. Or is it going to be like, nah, like cutthroat? Like you got to have some fire. Or we ain't even going to react. Like I'll say this.
If he said something that's really hot, it might get a little bit gas. But if he says something that's decent at best, they're not going to give it too much reaction. If it's something that's trash, they're not going to say nothing, or they're going to heckle, or they're going to boo. He's not just going to get the welcome back gas unless it's something crazy or fire. Look at Surf in Houston. Surf's first round was crazy. Every line they had to stop him. But it wasn't just him saying A, B, C, oh, my God, that was fire. No. Surf was doing the freaking 30 guys in real life crazy. The stick some of the rum like crazy. Freaking tomato paste and like crazy. Every line, crazy. Throw a punch to put my head down, Jim's good. Crazy. Dope bars. Cat can ride my truck with a crazy.
That Dragon Ball Z thing was fire.
That rebuttal was crazy.
Freestyle,
I don't even care if it wasn't a rebuttal. The way he did that was the way he made it was a mid round rebuttal because Rum Nitty did a sensu bean line. If I sensu's bean pop, you think he gonna recover? And serve like DBZ bars. I got that. And then he said, "What you said, Dragon Ball Z?" If I was a Dragon Ball fan, I would have said this cat karate one of my trunks or the freezer. Like the way he set it up, even if it wasn't an actual freestyle, I'm still giving it a point of a rebuttal because the way he made it look like a rebuttal, that was fire. That type of stuff, even if it's dope, it's gonna get even more crazy reaction because of his return. If Mook has bars like that, along with great angles, with great delivery and great bars with those angles, best believe he's going to get a crazy amount of reaction with maybe a little bit of returning gas.
Yeah, I think Verb is going to.
You got to earn that gas first.
I expect Verb to attack Mook. He's going to be viciously attacking Mook. And I think if Mook doesn't have rebuttals in this battle, he will likely lose. He's going to need to be rebuttaling what Verb's saying because he's going to be attacked. And I don't know if – I think maybe Verb's expecting him to not rebuttal, and that's why he might take that approach, figuring Mook's going to expect the crowd to just eat up whatever he brings, you know. And if he then it might get dark for him, and then
we have to see.
The lights won't be dim. The lights will be dark.
Right. And Mook has to work for that. Whether it is returning gas that's waiting for him or not, he got to work for it first. Surf worked for that returning gas in Houston, and he's far away from New York. He's far away from Jersey. He got that gas in Houston, despite them saying the chant with him. Reed Dallas probably had that returning gas ready for him in against John John. The John Cena, John Legend line had that crowd going crazy. And then after that, boom, heckle almost for the rest of the battle. Unless he said another line that was kind of nice or pretty fun and entertaining. Boom. Heckle. Tom. You're done. Stop rapping. Mook is going to have to go through that unless he says something hot. He got to say something that's dope. He's got to earn that gas. He's got to earn that good reaction. We're not going to just going to listen to you saying some lines here or there that might be either decent at best or that's not even close to cool, compared to like other stuff that we heard before what you were saying. We just got finished watching the damn near classic from B-Dot and Swave or Loso and Daylight. And you over here saying A, B, C, one easiest, 1, 2, 3, Cat in the Hat against A.
Cat in the Hat.
No. Boo this man. Boo. Get him out of here, ARP. Smack, do not book Verb versus Mook. We do not need that in this culture. Get him out of here. Howell does not deserve this disrespect. Surf did not deserve the disrespect. I don't care if Surf did choke in the third round against Rum. I don't care if he choked in the third round against Iron. His first two rounds are going to be way more entertaining and way more worth listening to than what the hell Mook just spit. Again,
yeah, you know,
the nerve, the audacity. Mook better
you
not
know,
play against Verb.
Mook's gonna need to come like it's the biggest battle of his career because this is gonna be the toughest crowd and the most critical crowd that he's ever performed in front of. In 2018. This crowd needs real fire. They're not just going to – I mean, a lot of things say it's gas, but even things that get gassed are a lot bigger than
actually
things
good.
That Mook has been saying in recent – yeah, exactly. So he's got to actually have at least, you know, things up to par with those lines to even get that reaction because people are very – there's very high standards in battle rap these days. And I'm sure that's probably why that he – you know, I'm sure it's not just about the bread. That's probably part of the reason why he's been hesitant to come back. As he knows, like, damn, I got to have an unbelievable performance for this crowd to want to see me again after I come back. So,
right.
Yeah, that's going to be – well, I'm interested to see what happens. And, yeah, we went a little bit over time here with this show because, you know, we get a little passionate on these things, so you know what I mean. Also, go if you're into battle rap, go check out Head Ice versus Gorilla Nems on King of the Dot. That's a fire battle. That's Rodney's favorite battle. So I'm gonna shout that out. And
that's your favorite.
Yeah.
Battle.
Rodney done watched it like 100 times. Yeah, Rodney watched it like 100 times, bro. He'd be telling me to check it out. I checked it out. It was nice, bro. I was saying, having some lines. So that's crazy. And, yeah, go check that thing out. That's the thing right there. And Lee should be back from vacay
the
next time we come
right
back.
There.
So, yeah, that's the thing right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Lee should be back.
Tell Lee, we got to talk about wrestling the next time we get on the show, man. We got to talk about
wrestling.
Yeah, so. Because there's something we got to talk about.
Yeah, so Lee, you know, I'll have to talk to Lee. Lee and Rodney going to talk about the steroid cheat, Brock Lesnar. And, you know, maybe
oh, now, we ain't going to go in on that much. Trust me. We got something else that's a big thing that I want to talk about for real, for real.
Yeah, they're going to talk about the clean wrestlers, not the steroid cheat. So that's where so they're going to chop that up. Lee going to get back from Hawaii. And, you know, after his surfing expedition. So we're going to get back to that the next time. So call in 917-889-3251 if you ever want to talk your stuff. And, Rodney, I appreciate you for coming on. Everybody who listens,
I appreciate you for listening.
And until next time, this is Lee and Keys Real Talk. Hope you enjoyed the show. We are over and out. Until next time.
Easy.